Good morning. It is so good to see you here this morning. I invite you to open a Bible with me, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. You're going to need a Bible this morning. We're only going to make a few stops, but those stops are going to be very important because these are the words of God. And I appreciate the fact that you are here. Your faith in God, your interest in God has led you here despite some challenging circumstances. I want you to know that you're an encouragement to me by being here, and singing through a mask, smiling from behind a mask. As our brother Bill has already said, it is so encouraging to look out and to see so many of you week by week continuing to walk with God no matter what. Hopefully you got a bulletin on your way in. A little different setup this morning. Our basic outline is right smack dab there on the front, and so you're not missing anything. We'll reference something on the inside here in just a little while, but if you're following along and filling in some blanks, it is right there at the front that we are starting. Day by day, over the course of the last 4.5 months, many of us, most of us, is my very strong hunch, have been met by a swirling storm of all sorts of emotions and circumstances and attitudes and reactions. And we've tried to show in a variety of different ways, from a variety of different angles, through a variety of different avenues, that the way we respond to that swirling storm has a very keen way of revealing to everyone what or who we worship, what or who we trust, what or who we really are. Will we meet this swirling storm of all sorts of challenging circumstances? Will we meet the attitudes around us? Will we not only interact with this swirl of emotions, but will we manage, control our emotions in a way that will show, really, I have no one, no thing greater on which to lean or look, depend, than myself? Am I going to meet this swirling storm of circumstances and emotions in a way that reveals to other people, really, all that I have to lean on is other human beings, and I just need other human beings to get their act together and to behave in a certain way or to act in a certain way or vote in a certain way. I'm completely dependent upon the human beings around me, and if they don't do what I want them to do, then it's just all going to fall apart. Or will I meet this swirling storm of emotions and circumstances and challenges in a way that makes clear to the people around me, whether they believe in God or not, he, she trusts the God of the Bible? Like you, I have gone through this amazing, I don't know if it's a line or a cycle or whatever it is. I think it started with shock, and then it moved from there to how are we going to do this, to what is it going to look like, and there was some frustration mixed in there and some disappointment, and I'm sure some grief mixed in with this is not spring and summer, now late summer 2020, the way that I always thought that it was going to go. I'll tell you, over the course of the last couple of weeks, what at least I have been chewing on is this fundamental question. What's it going to take? What's it going to take in the coming months to keep my faith stable and spiritually healthy? What's it going to take for my family to be stable and healthy and strong, even thrive in what may continue to be very challenging months ahead? What's it going to take for this church family in the midst of all of the challenges that we have experienced over the course of the last 4.5 months? What's it going to take for us, those of us in this room, those of us, Lord willing, who will be in here at 11 o'clock, those of us who are watching via live stream this morning, what's it going to take for our church family to be stable and strong and spiritually healthy and do more than survive 2020? Maybe 2021, whatever that holds. But what's it going to take to thrive in the midst of adversity? I've spent a lot of time thinking about that over the course of the last couple of weeks. I'm sure that if I gave you time, you could come up with some other, maybe even some better answers than the 4 answers that I've come to land on this week, revolving around what's it going to take in this season where the spiritual vitality of many around us is exactly what Jesus told us to expect in his most foundational parable in Luke chapter 8, that if we don't get that parable, we won't get any other parable. That a sower went out to sow seed, and that seed fell on all sorts of different environments. And we see those environments. The adversity of 2020 brings those environments right up to the surface. And they show everyone around us what, who we worship, what, who we trust, what, who we really are. In this season where the spiritual vitality of some is just being trampled underfoot, and the spiritual vitality of others is withering, because there isn't any depth of soil there. It's just sitting on the hot, baked rock of the circumstances of 2020. And the spiritual vitality of some, it's there, but it's being absolutely choked by the thorns of this world. And yet you know just as surely as I do that you can look at others, even in August now of 2020, and you see fruit. You see faith. Faith that is doing more than surviving. Faith that is flourishing. And even having an impact on those who came into this pandemic not full of faith themselves. And so in this season where so much is being revealed, just like the Bible teaches us, by adversity, what is it going to take? Here are my 4 answers. It's going to take, number 1, content. Is your Bible open there to Matthew chapter 4? Such a foundational statement of Jesus. When he responded to great adversity, after 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and the tempter comes, And Jesus responds by quoting an ancient statement from Deuteronomy. Matthew 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you see in that foundational statement that if we are going to live life the way that it was meant to be lived by our Creator, we need content. We need content that is not simply swirling around in our own heads as a reaction to what we see with our physical eyes. We need content that is so much greater than what our fragile, fallible, short-sighted fellow human beings have to offer. We need content from God. And about 4.5 months ago, suddenly it was a unique challenge to continue to provide the content that our church family is used to and needs and lives upon, at least in the context of this local church, week in and week out, month in and month out. And yet because of the God-centered, people-loving efforts of so many different people, I feel very confident in standing up here this morning and saying, even in August of 2020, we don't have a shortage of content. Content that is available day by day, week by week. It's like this rich spiritual buffet. And we understand that different people learn in different ways. And so I mean that word buffet very intentionally. I'm not sure that any member of our church family could take in all of the content that is available. That's a good thing because people learn in different ways. Some will read every single Jumpstart that Roger ever writes, maybe more than once, but they could not to this day tell you what a podcast is, and that's fine. Some might never take the time to read a Jumpstart, but they'll listen to a podcast on their way to work, and that's fine. All sorts of different content channels that are available for all different ages, thanks to the work of so many throughout this spring and summer. It is a wonderful blessing. But would you open your Bible with me to the Old Testament book of Amos? Can you find in the prophets, a little before the Gospel of Matthew, the little Old Testament book of Amos? And could I use that in Amos chapter 8 to show you that in order to thrive in 2020, we need more, I need more, you need more than a rich spiritual buffet of content. Because it is very possible to have prophets close at hand in this Old Testament context, to have messenger from messenger sent by God, and yet experience a famine of the Word of God. In Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, God, because of the sad spiritual state of His people, foretells, behold, the days are coming when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of God. And we understand that literally came to be. But you know what's sadder than because of the hardness of people's hearts, God deciding no more prophets for a few centuries? You know what's sadder than that? It's having the complete revelation of God's will delivered. The prophets, the apostles, the very Son of God himself, having that all at my fingertips, and still experiencing, because of my personal choices, a famine of the Word of God. It is not a giant step from the problem in Amos chapter 8 to the reality of Hosea chapter 4, where God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it is a very small step from Amos 8 to Hosea 4 to the plight of a real life church in Ephesus. Real life men and women of whom it was said, by Jesus himself in Revelation 2, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. We are so blessed in this part of the world, at this point in history, with the people around us who love God, and the technology that we are able to use, and the time and the sacrifices that are being made. Just an absolute wealth of content. But in order for your faith to survive in 2020, you need more than content. And so I ask you to open your Bible with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You need, number two, connection. Connection. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, do you remember, again, a very foundational passage of Scripture? The Apostle Paul is writing to young Timothy, and he assures him of his source. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, he says, all Scripture, there's our content. All Scripture is breathed out by God. And so we need to make sure that when we handle this content, we realize who it is that is speaking to us. This is breathed out by God, and it is profitable. But you know where and how it is profitable. You want to know the only way it will be profitable for you, giving you what you need in 2020. It's if you take that content and you make a connection. You make a connection. You can't do that for me, and I can't do that for you. You make a connection so that this God-given content is teaching you. It is your primary teacher, your primary source. Come what may, regardless of what is going on in the world, in the nation, in this state, across the river, in our community, in your own home, in your own head, here's the primary source. It's God-breathed. And it will teach you why you're here, and what life is all about, and how to endure adversity in a way that you can thrive and be a light in the world and a help to other people. But only if you make that connection between that content in your heart. You allow it to step on your toes at times. I allow it to show me how I got out of bounds and how to get back in bounds. We allow it to train us, even in the midst of adversity, as spiritual muscles are being stretched, and by God's design, even healing and growing stronger as we rely on this content to live. And in the living, we are trained in righteousness so that come what may, Paul is writing from a Roman prison cell. Come what may, the man or the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Content has its intended effect, listen to me, only when it is connected to human hearts. And so could I get really personal for a moment? As a church family, understanding that the home is home base for spiritual development, as a congregation, our most targeted efforts to communicate and connect God's content to hearts of all ages, we can't do right now. At 10:30, you can't exit this auditorium and go down any one of these halls and know that for the next 45 minutes, your little son, your daughter, your children, your grandchildren are being taught the content of God's Word, and it's being connected where they are. Listen, Roger, not I, no one is under any delusion that what happens right here is the primary way that your five-year-old has the Word of God and its content connected to their heart. But they need God's content. And we can't do that right now in the context of this church family. But thanks to the efforts and the time and the sacrifices, the ongoing efforts of many, many people, there are very real ways that will happen, Lord willing, later today, moms and dads, where your children, whatever age they are, have the opportunity. Is it optimal? No. Is it the way that we wish it was? No. But it is content, God-breathed content. Now, you know just as surely as I do, there is not a first grader in this room who will do that on their own this afternoon. And so, Dad and Mom, we're thankful that you're here. But in order to continue to connect God's content with the little hearts that can't get in these classrooms what they would normally be getting right now, we need you to step up. We need you to be very deliberate. We need you to be sacrificial. We need you to prioritize junior high, high school, college age. There are opportunities, Lord willing, this afternoon, all the way up. I know because of my own. It's Chris in junior high, and it's Joel in high school, and it's Zach in college age who are setting real live time aside this afternoon and this evening to help you connect God's content to your heart. Could I be very real with you for a moment? If for the foreseeable future you show up at 9:30 once a week and that is all the spiritual content that you consume for the foreseeable future, you're going to be in trouble by the end of 2020. You're going to be withering on the vine in 2020. Why? Because man shall not live by bread alone. And I can have all sorts of content thrown at me for a solid hour and yet leave this auditorium and be guilty of exactly what people in Jesus' day were guilty of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, in your songs and in your prayers and in your studies in a building, but not do what I tell you to do in real life? It is a very small step from very little spiritual content to Luke chapter 6, to the plight of real life people in Laodicea, of whom Jesus said, You say, I am rich and I have prospered and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. In order for content to equip us and help us survive and even thrive, it won't do that without a connection, the connection that you and I personally have to make. Go with me quickly to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Number 3, I wrote down community. What's it going to take to survive and even thrive in 2020? It's going to take community. Is your Bible open there? Look at Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. Speaking the truth, there's our content. Speaking the truth in love. You see how the content now is making a connection between the God who is love, and now he has shaped my heart so that I am speaking the truth of God's content in love. That is his will for all of our lives. But I want you to notice with me that it moves from there. That's not all we need. If that's all that you need, you just need a radio. But you need more than that. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Do you see that? That God has provided the content. God teaches us over the course of our development as disciples of Jesus to connect that content with our lives. But we need more than that. We need community. We need a body that is made up of a variety of different members, a variety of different joints. And it is those joints along with Christ the head that holds that body together and keeps it equipped when each part is working properly. And so could I just speak really plainly to you this morning? Without community, as a church, we can slip into the exact same trap as that rich man in Luke chapter 12, who'd done a whole lot of building and reached the point where it was time to do more building. I'll do this, I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. And God says, you're acting, you're living, you're about to die like a fool. We have been so blessed throughout these challenging weeks and months to continue a building expansion. We've got a work crew, Lord willing, who will be working on this side starting tomorrow morning. Blessed to continue that building expansion. But listen to me this morning. It's more than drywall that's going to hold us together. It's more than fresh paint. It's going to take more than new carpet to join us together and hold us together. It is the joints of the body. Those joints that are not only connected, but number 4, they care. You remember how in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, Paul said, not to a group of preachers, not to a collection of shepherds. He said to all disciples of Jesus. He said to every disciple of Jesus, we urge you. It's not a friendly suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It's not a, well, if things get really bad, hit this emergency red button. No, we urge you, brethren, admonish the idle. Some translations render that unruly. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. What's it going to take to be stable? What's it going to take to be strong? What's it going to take to be healthy? The more that I thought about that idea, I don't know if anybody was worried. This wasn't overflow seating in case we got too full up here. The more that I thought about those four things, the more that I thought of it as a stool. And so I ask you, if I had one of you come up here, and I asked if you would be comfortable sitting right beside this edge of these stairs on this stool, my guess is you might have a little bit of stage fright, but you wouldn't have any qualms about sitting on the stool. It's not a trick. It's stable. But what if I positioned it right like that and I cut that leg off? And then I asked you, if you're comfortable sitting in front of all of these people right on the edge of these steps with those three legs, I'm sure that we would have some adventurers, probably guys, try their hand at it. But I'll tell you what they would do in order to fall or to avoid falling. They would lean awfully hard backwards on those other three legs. But then what if I cut off another one? There isn't anybody who would just casually sit down on that two-legged stool. But I'll tell you, the more that I thought about this, the more I came to believe this is 2020 for us right now, for me, for my family right now. You remove any one of those four legs in the stool and stability suffers. Brothers and sisters, you remove any one of those four legs that we've talked about this morning. Legs that 2020 has put very real strain on, strain that none of us saw coming. And stability is going to suffer. Content has the potential to be life-changing, but it's just one leg of the stool. And it only changes lives if it connects to human hearts. So much of that God-shaped content teaches us about the importance of community. We're called not just to believe something, but to belong to the body of Christ. And at the same time, all the content in the world without care, Paul warns us, is like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It takes all four for stability. We live in an amazing information age where so much connectivity is at our fingertips, but it is only God's content that can set us free. Is His content the most important content of my life? Am I seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness on His terms to His glory? I've got a world of content at my fingertips, but am I following His leading to be a part of a body, a family, a fellowship, a church that helps to equip me and hold me accountable and give me a practical platform in which I can serve? Or what good is it if I say that I've connected the dots of faith, but I don't have works? It takes all four to achieve stability. Community is an incredible blessing, but again, it is only the content of the Lord's truth, and my obedience to that truth from a heart of faith and love that can set me free. At the same time, I can sit through years of sermons and have known the same people, same members of my congregation for decades. But if I come to believe that I'm not cared for, I may begin to drift. It takes all four to achieve stability. And care is fundamental to our calling as disciples. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ as I have loved you. To care without connection could be compared to faith without works. It's dead. I care, I just don't do anything. But if I ignore the content of truth, that's not love. As modeled by Jesus, it takes all four to achieve stability. And so could I invite you to open that bulletin one more time with me to the inside cover and encourage you to take that with you. Because this first week in August is a great time, I believe, for some self-evaluation. What's it going to take this week to be met by this swirling storm of circumstances none of us planned for? What's it going to take? Am I aware of the wide variety of content available to help me grow? Am I subscribed? Am I plugged in? And am I picking up resources? Am I listening to announcements? If I need help, if I'm not sure when my first grade's Zoom Bible class is this afternoon, who am I going to ask before I leave this building? Connection. What resources am I actually using week by week to connect my heart and my life to God and His will? Community. Are the paths of communication open? We are served by six such dedicated men as shepherds for whom the last 4.5 months have been an incredible grind. They cannot read your mind. They don't have a hidden camera in your house. And so are the lines of communication open? What members of our church family are at greater risk right now, physically, emotionally, spiritually? Who have you not seen? Who have you not heard from in a while? We have brothers and sisters in Christ who have become new members of our family during this incredibly challenging time, three of whom you'll hear about in just a few minutes. How in this strange time can I connect with them? It's going to take more than wearing a mask in here and everybody keeping their distance and seeing somebody from across the auditorium. How am I going to make that connection? Is anybody slipping through the cracks? Care. This week, I gave you three blanks. This week, I'm going to reach out to, I'm going to encourage, I'm going to think, I'm going to check up on, I'm going to welcome. You do that, and together, as joints of this body, we can meet this swirling storm all around us, and not just survive, but we can continue to thrive. It may be that you walked in this building this morning and you know that you're not thriving. You're here because somebody else expects you to be here or took you along with them. But we want you to hear loud and clear this morning that you don't have to leave here unstable. Our daily Bible reading from just a few days ago took us into Isaiah 33 that assures us the Lord is exalted. He dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the stability of your times. Abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. Do you have a relationship with Him this morning? And if not, why not take care of that right now? If maybe you began walking with Him a long time ago, but your heart is anxious and troubled and it feels like the spiritual ground is slipping beneath your feet. I'd close with you from 2 Peter chapter 3. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these things, be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction. That's not God's will for your life. You, knowing this, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. If we can help you in any way in growing or responding to the Lord for the very first time, would you let us know how we can help by coming to the front of this room while we stand and sing together.
I am resolved all over.